Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to Let's Talk Portland, Entercom Radio Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. This time, we're going to be talking about a nonprofit that does incredible work in many of the western states of the United States and right here in our own backyard. Let's talk about Guide Dogs for the Blind. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Chris Benninger. Chris is the CEO and president of Guide Dogs for the Blind. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Gary. Thank you.
Before we get started on this interview today, I want to find out how you're doing during the pandemic. What's going on in your life? Are you doing okay hanging in there?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. You know, so I have to tell myself every day that I'm extremely grateful. I have a home. I have food to eat. I have a job at Guide Dogs for the Blind. So, yes, I'm doing all right.
Good.
I'm doing all right. I'm anxious for this to be over, but I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Well, I think that's a pretty universal feeling to get this over with.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Guide Dogs for the Blind. The name of the company is pretty self-explanatory, but tell us, what is Guide Dogs for the Blind?
Yeah, Guide Dogs for the Blind. First of all, we are the largest guide school in North America, the second largest in the world. And we provide dogs to people with visual impairments. And our mission really is providing independence for those who can't see.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this 6 years.
Okay.
It's been an honor to be part of this organization.
Yeah. How long has Guide Dogs for the Blind been around?
You know, since 1942. So if I do my math right, that's 78 years.
Wow. That's a good long time.
It is a good long time.
Tell me about some of the history.
You know, Guide Dogs for the Blind started in the midst of World War II. It was started by a group of military professionals who actually were military dog trainers, who wanted to help service members who were blinded during the war. And so that's really where the start of the German Shepherd came from, right? Because German Shepherds were traditionally used as military dogs, and those were the very first guide dogs. And what's interesting is today, you know, fast forward 78 years, we no longer use German Shepherds at all. We use Labs and Golden Retrievers, and most service organizations throughout the world, there's only about 10% that still use German Shepherds.
Interesting. How come the switch of breeds of dogs?
You know, yeah. So Shepherds are fantastic dogs, but they probably make much better, you know, military dogs or police dogs. They're much more high strung. It takes a much more sophisticated handler to be able to use a guide dog, and they tend to be overly protective of their person. So as somebody who's blind, you know, having a dog that is really more of a social dog that helps bring me into my community as opposed to keeps people away from me, you know, with a dog that, you know, perhaps, you know, we've had some of our shepherds that, you know, growl, keep people away, or just even their look is a little bit off-putting. Labs and Golden Retrievers are, they're very social, they're easy to train, they love to please, And they also are great caretakers for their person. So they make terrific guide dogs. Yeah. They really do.
And they're really cute.
That's
interesting that dogs, different breeds of dogs would be better at certain things. That's an interesting concept.
They are. I mean, well, you know, it's a lot like us, right? We all don't want to do the same job. But what makes a good guide dog is essentially you have to have courage as a guide dog. You have to have courage to make independent decisions, because a guide dog has to take a command from their person but evaluate whether that command is going to put them in harm's way or not. So if I give my dog the forward command and I don't hear to cross the street and I don't hear that electric car that's coming around the corner, my dog has to pull me away from the street, not take me into it. Now, that takes courage to say no to your boss. Not many of us feel that kind of courage, right?
Right.
But, you know, it's that social ability. It's that caring. Our guide dogs provide so much more than just independent travel. Our clients bridge into the community. They are that companion, that soulmate. And all of that is part of being a guide dog. And there's also one other little interesting fact that people never think about, is that labs and golden retrievers versus other types of breeds can be taught to walk in a straight line.
Wow.
And that's important,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I would assume that's important.
Yeah, because you want to get from point A to point B. And labs and goldens can be taught to walk in a straight line. Let's take a border collie. Border collie circles around behind you, because it's a herding dog, right? So, yeah.
Wow, that's
a little known fact.
Yeah, very interesting information. We're talking today with Chris Benninger, CEO and President of Guide Dogs for the Blind. Now, Chris, here in Portland, you have a campus very near Portland. Tell us about that.
We do. So we have a campus in Boring, which is 25 miles southeast of Portland. It's what we call our training campus. So it's a campus where our dogs are trained, and then also our clients are trained as well. So we have a hotel on our campus where our clients are flown in to Portland. They spend 2 weeks with us, and they train not only on our campus, but actually we go into Portland. We go, you know, really all over, so people can learn to work their guide dog.
Is this the campus in Boring? Is that the only training campus you have?
No, we have a second campus, which is actually what's called our national headquarters, which is just north of San Francisco in a town called San Rafael. So we also train on our San Rafael campus, but we also do all of our breeding on the San Rafael campus as well. So approximately 900 puppies are born every year, and those puppies stay on our campus. We start our socialization with our puppies when they're 3 days of age. Wow. They stay with us for 8 to 10 weeks, and then they go to puppy raisers in the 10 western states, as far east as Texas, to be raised with our puppy raisers for a year. And then they come back to one of our campuses to learn their guide skills.
One of my coworkers here at the radio stations is named Barb, and Barb has been a puppy raiser for years. So we always have a little guide dog in training around the building, and it's fantastic.
Well, we love Barb. Thank you. We could not do our job without our amazing puppy raisers. So
tell me what that process is like. What are the requirements to be a raiser?
Yeah, so one of the things that, you know, we're looking for is an individual or families who are willing to take an 8 to 10 week old puppy into their home. There's a whole set of protocols for what you have to do to raise a puppy. So every touch point with a puppy is critically important to their development. So all of our puppy raisers are organized into puppy clubs, and those puppy clubs are overseen by employees of Guide Dogs for the Blind. So every step of the way, our puppy raisers are helped and taught how to raise these puppies, and is overseen by Guide Dogs. What we do ask, because there's a lot of learning that goes on, is that if somebody is interested in raising a puppy, we actually have them join a puppy club in their area for a minimum of 6 months to learn the training process before we actually hand you a puppy. And our puppy raisers have our puppies for approximately a year, depending upon how they're developing in their skills. Our puppy raisers may have their puppy a little bit longer than that. And then once they come back to campus for their training, we keep our puppy raisers apprised of where each of our dogs are in their training process, how they're doing. Not all dogs actually make it all the way through the training process. So if a dog does not, and there's not another program used for the dog, our puppy raisers have the first opportunity to adopt that dog if they would like. Of course, our hope always is that, you know, our dogs make it through as guide dogs, and we have every 2 weeks we have a graduation on campus, and part of that graduation process is that our puppy raisers are there at graduation, presenting their puppy to the person who will be their person for the rest of their life, to make certain that they're leading that person through life.
Yeah. I hear that graduation day gets pretty emotional.
Oh, it is. I mean, every graduation is different. The only similarity is you absolutely have to bring Kleenex. I mean, every single story is touching. I mean, if you think about it for yourself, you know, I mean, all of us want independence in our life. And having somebody to go through life with, a guide dog, that can bring you that independence and be your best friend, your soulmate, your bridge to your community, is pretty special. And I think the thing that always, and I'm tearing up just thinking about it right now, is listening to our clients talk about the difference that their guide has made. And I'm a huge believer in the power of one. And so if you positively change one life, just one life, that individual goes on to positively change another life and another life and another life. And there's more and more good that's put into the world. So I really look at the work that we're doing is work that positively changes the world for good.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Tell me about the process of matching the dog and the person. How is that done?
You know, yeah, I appreciate you asking that, because that is a very big part of what we do. As you can well imagine, every one of our clients is different, and every single one of our dogs is different, right? So, you know, finding that right match takes a lot of thought, a lot of planning, and oftentimes it takes a little bit of magic as well. But it starts with, during the application process, is that one of our staff people will come out and visit the applicant, because what we want to better understand is, you know, what your home environment is like, what your work environment is like, what your neighborhood is like. What will you be asking your dog to be doing for you? So that we can understand, better understand, what are the characteristics that we need to find in a dog. So a good example, we have one of our retired board members who has traveled over 2 million airplane miles with two different guide dogs. Now, that's a unique dog that can go all over the world, that can be on long airplane flights, that can traverse all of these different airports. And then we have clients that they work in downtown Manhattan. We have clients that live in suburbs and are going to volunteer activities every day. We have clients that are parents who are raising kids. So each one of those situations requires a different set of characteristics in a dog. And then on top of that, our clients have their own preferences, right? I want a yellow lab or a black lab, or I want a golden, or, you know, I want a female, I want a male. So we put all of that together to find exactly the right match. And when I say that there's a little touch of magic, every single match ends up with just something a little special that nobody could have planned for. And an example of that is we had a client who graduated a couple of years ago now, who on the graduation stage talked about the fact that, we didn't know this, that he's a huge Happy Days fan, and every year he and his family go to Milwaukee and they always visit the Fonzie statue. I didn't even know that there was one there.
I didn't either.
But his dog was named Fonzie.
Oh, awesome.
And was the dog named Fonzie before they were matched up?
Yes.
That is a bit of magic right there.
There is. So.
Wow. So somebody, tell me about the process of somebody who is interested in getting a guide dog. What's their process like to getting in the program?
Sure. So, you know, first of all, I just, you know, want to make certain everybody's aware that all of our services are free. So there's no cost that we charge people. We also pay for all of the veterinary costs for our dog for their entire life, because it's very important for us that our dog gets top-notch medical care, and we never want to put one of our clients in a situation where they are conflicted about either paying their rent or, you know, taking their dog to the vet. So our goal is to make our clients successful with their dogs. And we're looking for four key things in order to qualify for a guide dog. One is that you're legally blind, and it doesn't mean completely blind. So 70% of our clients do have some sort of residual vision, but not enough residual vision to allow them to travel safely in the world. So legally blind, you have to have a need to go somewhere every day. And that doesn't mean that you have to have a job. It means that you get out of the house and you do something every day, even if that just means I go for a walk every day. Every day I do a mile walk or a mile and a half walk. Because if you and your guide dog don't work together every day, you both are going to lose your skills. So it's important that there's somewhere to go every day. The third thing is that you have to have the basic orientation and mobility skills to be able to orient yourself in your environment as somebody, you know, with no vision or, you know, a little bit of residual vision. And the reason for that is because a guide dog isn't a GPS system. You can't just hold on to the handle and say, take me to Starbucks. You have to know Starbucks is three blocks down, you know, this street, and then you have to make a right-hand turn at the stoplight and go down four additional shops, and the Starbucks is going to be on the right. Once your dog has done that enough times, you can say, take me to Starbucks, but you have to understand how to orient yourself within your environment. And then fourth is that you need to be living in an environment that actually will support a guide dog. And what I mean by that is that it doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while we have somebody who applies, and it's usually an individual in a rural community where there are a lot of off-leash aggressive dogs in the community. And so, you know, if you're trying to work your dog in that kind of an environment, if your dog is going to have to worry about being attacked, your dog's not going to be able to focus on getting you safely to where you want to go. So,
yeah, that makes total sense.
Those are the four things. Yeah, those are the four things we look for. And if a person has that, then they qualify for a guide dog and can apply for the program.
Chris, I want to ask you, do you have advice for sighted people out there who see a working dog and what they should do around that working dog?
Oh, thank you for asking that, because I think for all of us, when you see a working dog, our first inclination is to go, oh my God, I'd love to pet your dog.
Yeah.
And I think the most important thing is for people to recognize that when a dog is working, the dog's in harness, and even if the person is stopped, if the dog's in harness, the dog is working. And so you should never interrupt the dog when it's working. You can, though, and our clients love it if you would just ask, you know, hi, I'm Chris. I see you've got a guide dog. Your guide dog's gorgeous. Would it be okay if I pet him? Sometimes, you know, people will say, you know something, he's working. I would prefer you didn't. Many times people will say, absolutely, but let me do this. Let me put him into a sit stay so he knows that he's really not working right now. Or let me take the harness off. He definitely knows he's not working. Please do, you know, say hello. But always ask, because if a guide dog's working, it's really focusing on keeping their person safe. And if you interrupt that, a mistake could be made and that person could get hurt because the guide dog lost its focus.
Great advice. Thank you for sharing that. We have a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure we get this in because there's a way for our listeners to actually see some of these dogs in process. You've got something special happening on Disney Plus. Tell me about that.
Oh, we do. There's a wonderful 6-part docuseries called Pick of the Litter. And Pick of the Litter, if you're at all interested in learning more about guide dogs for the blind, what a guide dog does, what puppy raising is all about, the difference that a guide dog can make in someone's life, and just want a happy experience, it's a great, great 6-part series to stream. And you can stream all 6 parts now. They're 30-minute segments. And I will guarantee you, you will love it. Absolutely love it.
How could you not love seeing these little puppies?
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
We've all got time right now, so why not binge watch some puppies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also think right now we're looking for happy things to do. And this is a happy thing to do.
And it is on Disney Plus. Is that correct? Is it available anywhere else?
No, it's only available on Disney Plus.
Excellent. Well, maybe give us a little bit of information on how Portlanders can help out Guide Dogs for the Blind, too.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you asking that. So, as I mentioned earlier, all of our services are free. We receive no government funding, so we're completely dependent upon the support of our communities to support our mission. So I'm hoping that people will be inspired, people will want to donate. Once we're through this pandemic a bit, we also always need volunteers, both on our campus in Boring and also puppy raisers. So we can only do our mission with the support of our community. So I'm hoping that people will want to do that. Thank you.
Yeah. And the best place to get information is probably your website. Can you give out the website address?
It's www.guidedogs.com. One word, guide dogs.
I'm looking at it right now, and there's two cute puppies right on the homepage.
Yeah.
It's hard to resist. Well, Chris, this has been great information. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Gary.
And
it's
please,
been a real pleasure.
Please do stay safe and healthy, too.
You too. Thank you.
That was Chris Benninger, CEO and President of Guide Dogs for the Blind. Let's Talk Portland is an Entercom Radio Portland public affairs program.